Welcome to Faith Walking Conversations. In this episode, Marcos León and a group of faith walkers share a time of meditation and learning about practices that can nurture your soul. This week, they focus on the topic soul identity. The soul needs to find its identity in God. This conversation was originally recorded in September of 2020. We want to remind you that Faith Walking's mission is to make wholeness possible for individuals, communities, and the world. Visit us at www.faithwalking.us. Join this conversation. Until I see the Christ in you, I'm gonna look twice at you. Welcome to our conversations about meditations and practices that can nurture our souls. We meet every Monday and explore different topics around this, do some practice together of being still, and we are in our fifth conversation now of the series about soul identity. Right? We have explored different aspects of soul identity, you know, this paradox of finding our identity in knowing God and in knowing self. Somehow this is part of a whole. It's not a kind of a only God, only me. We need both. And we have explored what do we mean when we say knowing God? What do we mean when we say talking about self? And we have we had a conversation last week about unmasking the false self. In my experience, it's a tough conversation. It's a tough conversation to have with myself. You know, nobody wants to has to face their own self. I know very, very few people who get in a gathering and say, let's talk about our brokenness in a healthy way, you know, in a curious way, not condemning, not fuse way, but in a healthy way. If I can make a little bit promote, but beyond faith walking, there are very, very, very few spaces that I experience that. So before we start talking about our identity, finding our identity in God, I would love to hear a little bit of your comments, especially after our conversation last week, unmasking our false self. This is, would you unmute and share? How is that going for you? What of that is staying for you? Go ahead, Verna.
I can think of a little joke that's going around like on Facebook and different groups, and it goes like this. It says, why are people having trouble wearing a mask? Because we've been wearing a mask anyway. Meaning, you know, we haven't been showing our true self. We've been hiding behind whatever it is. And so so when I read that, it's like you said, it's kind of funny, but it's really true. And even our conversation about unmasking me, like you said, looking at the mirror and seeing the part that you really don't want to see. But I've learned that God is showing it to me. He's exposing it to me because he's working on me. I cannot continue to be like I was and then and be ambassador to him, not in the condition I was in. But at the time, I didn't know that. But now he's exposed some really deep things that didn't look good. And so, and I thank him for it now. But it's still an ongoing process. Yes.
Yeah. What a great to put it, Vernell. And thank you for saying, but yeah, we have been wearing a mask. That's a great picture of the false self. Mm-hmm. It's just a mask, right? Mm-hmm. And what I hear in what you share is that yes, I mean it's hard, right? But I don't hear a distress, or more than distress. I don't hear condemnation. So this is not God pointing at you and saying, oh, I cannot believe it, Bernal. You are still doing that, or whatever it is, right? Yeah. I will say it's the grace of God, right? God is showing me. Yeah.
He's teaching me to forgive myself. Because a lot of times I brought back up, you know, what I did wrong and just be forgiven about it after I have given it to God, you know, and apologize to the person or whatever. And then I turned around and a week later I was beating myself all over again about the same thing. So the scripture said there's no condemnation. So I'm learning to forgive myself. And that I think that's kind of the greatest task for me right now. It's me beating up me. Yeah. And God is not doing that to me. Yeah.
That's great, Renel. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much for sharing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's great. Somebody else, how was your experience?
For me, it's just more of a continued exercise in allowing myself to be vulnerable and to feel vulnerable. That's a lot of times where my obstacles come up. I don't know, I guess just that whole vulnerability feeling and not being sure if I'm going to be wounded or re-wounded or, you know, accepted with love. That sort of thing. But it gets back into I was sharing with Laura, the scripture today was so good. Just about, you know, just trusting God and to trust in Jesus, trust in the Holy Spirit and to rest in that.
Yeah. Trish, thank you. Your voice, I think the reality for many of us, you know, is vulnerability. We're attracted to it. There's something in us that longs to be vulnerable. But there's something in us that it is, I'm not sure if I can, right? Because being vulnerable has the potential, the risk of being wounded. And nobody wants to be wounded. That's a great point. And in a way, your false self and my false self are nothing but that. Human effort, a human mask to try to protect ourselves, not to be wounded, not to be hurt. Seeing my false self that way, I call it little self. I refer to it like a little kid. I don't want to diminish the impact of my false self, but it allows me to remember that it's just trying to protect itself. It's a little wounded kid. And I have to honor myself. I cannot go and say, okay, I'm going to be completely vulnerable, you know, kind of write all my deepest secrets in the newspaper or something like that. No, God honors me. And he teaches me to honor myself. But there is a step and a step forward that I keep going. And I try a little bit more. And in that extra step beyond that comfort zone of vulnerability, sometimes there is healing. And God is patient. And God waits. And healing is a promise. So I love it. Thank you. Thank you for sharing, Trish. And I think at the end or at the bottom of our false self, there is also this, we talked about last week, there's this, I will say existential, it is false self, right? But seems existential, a lack of trust. You know, we lack of trust. We are not sure that God will protect us in that or God will provide in there, you know? It is the God is or will satisfy us there. One version of those. And we don't wake up thinking that way, but functionally, it is our little self reasoning saying, yes, God is all that you want, Marco, I get it. But I'm not sure he can protect you there. Or you see, that is false self voice. And there is no judgment or condemnation. The love of God is not at stake. Yet, the call of God is as clear as that too, as real as that too. Jesus keeps calling us and saying, follow me here, to the true self, to the vulnerability, to the trust. Thank you. Thank you very much for bringing us back into this conversation. Okay, let me share my screen and let me go with the content of today, the topic is soul identity, but today we want to explore this idea that the soul needs to find its identity in God. Okay, so we need to find who we are in God. So, starting with David Benner, has been the context as helping us navigate this conversation. He writes, there is an alternative to the false self. I love it. Thank you. Good news. There is an alternative to the false self. Once you start seeing your false self, by the way, this is the work of awareness, right? We cannot stop but seeing the false self, right? And he's like, oh my gosh, it's everywhere. But he encourages and says, there is an alternative to the false self. And it takes less energy and work. The way of being that is based on our life in Christ is a way of truth that leads to our vocation and to our deepest possible fulfillment. So here you go. So David Benner is voicing a promise in which my false self responds and saying, there's no way. What is the catch? Or I don't believe that, right? Because of that mistrust. But David Benner is saying, hey, being yourself, the self that God intended for you to be, is actually an alternative. You choose, this is a choice, and it is easier. Less work. You don't have to be wearing that mask all the time. You can just show up as you are. Less burden. And beyond that, says actually it will lead you to a vocation, truth, and fulfillment. Who doesn't want that, right? Who doesn't want that? And it sounds a lot like God. God will create the intention of God in us. It will be towards good, right? Because he is good and offers good things. So let's explore a bit this idea. So first, when we talk about finding our identity in God, I will put it this way too. We're talking about awakening to an identity that is already given. This is a bit more complex than just saying it is yours and period, just believe it. It's more complex than that. But it is true that it is an awakening. It is I didn't know that I didn't know kind of moment. Oh, I never really considered this way, that it was already given and that I have to see it, open my eyes and see it, right? So a bit of context in scripture, Colossians 3, 1 through 4. There are several passages that you can find. And I'm just going to talk this one, talk about this one. Colossians, Paul writes, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And with Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. And there's a lot in this passage. I want to point to a couple of ideas. That first, if you are in Christ, and we are, we know that, that is the essence of our identity, imperfectly, but I am in Christ, right? What Paul is encouraging is, think of this intention of God, think of God's plans, you know, and consider that your life is hidden with Christ, and that is going to be revealed. And when that is revealed, your full life will be revealed. Now, let me tell you how I have taken this passage before and how I'm taking it in the context of my false self and true self. In the past, and this is not incorrect at all, it's just a different sort of interpretation or taking this passage. I have taken this passage in the past, and one in a way that is more dualistic, you know? Okay, only think of things of heaven and not things of earth. I'm only going to be thinking on kind of, you know, heaven and the scriptures, and not going to be thinking at all about the things of earth. I have been dualistic in that way and created a separation that, to be honest, has not been very helpful for me, because I still have to pay bills and I still have to take care of my kids and I still have to deal with pandemics in 2020, right? I cannot sort of go to the, I'm going to exaggerate, okay? Go to the top of a mountain and just think of God. I even think that is what I see in Jesus Christ. He was incarnated and he was eating and walking and talking and struggling, if you want, in life. But his center was in his identity with God. That is the way that I'm taking this passage right now. Does it make sense? This is not about separating completely. This is about finding what is the deepest anchor for my soul. My identity is not what I see in the mirror, the meanings that I make of myself when I see myself in the mirror. My identity is focused in what God is saying about me. You see, that is one of the elements. Another way in which I have taken in this passage in the past is that when Jesus is revealed to the whole world, you know, and I have taken that in the context, okay, when Jesus comes back, right, in the future, in not now, but in the future. And there is an element in that is not incorrect. But as I think of my identity, I have been learning to see this as, in this circumstance that I'm living, there is a struggle. And sometimes, I say that about other struggles in my life, in other circumstances, there are moments in which I see Christ revealed in that circumstance. It's like, boom. Suddenly the clarity of what Christ is wanting me to do, wanting me to see. The revelation of Christ in the struggle of right now. You think of a relationship. Think of a struggle. And we struggle, we struggle, we pray. But suddenly we find this moment of clarity in which God brings a sense of guidance, a sense of peace, and we move forward. I bet you have experiences like that. So I see it not only when Christ comes back, but in this struggle today, you know, I can talk about being the father of four now, little ones here. There's a struggle until I have to adapt to the new life and to the rhythms of sleep and all of that. And I can get very frustrated and very tired. And I don't know how to do it. And, you know, that's real life. But I keep seeking and waiting for God. And suddenly Christ, in some moment, gives me the strength, the patience, the love, the wisdom to move forward. So you see, that is the Christ being revealed to the whole world. And then my identity, my true identity, is revealed. Anyway, I'm sharing with you some level of personal interpretation. Now, talking about finding our identity in God, I will say it's awakened to believe that I am the intention of God for me. God's intention. I am really that. I don't need to wait to something to convince me that I need to awaken to believe. This is faith. I am who God says I am. That is hard. You know, I believe a lot of other voices, but in one way, I need to awake to believe that. And another way, I need to awaken, to be awakened, to see the glimpses of this identity in my life. So you see your false self. I pray that you will have eyes also to see your true self. The moments in which, not often, but now and then, God allows you to see the glimpse of your desire for Him, the glimpses of your love for others, the glimpses of your patience and your kindness and the fruit of this thing in the uniqueness of what has given to you. Anyway, So finding our identity in God, in a way, is awakening to this identity that has been already given in Christ. In another way, is also to believe that I am becoming my true self. Can you? So the destiny is secure. I am becoming who God wants me to be. There's no way out. I just need to collaborate with that. Let myself be taken into this transformation. I usually say this in the context of faith walking, right? I can see, or I can tell you about the Marcos of the past, the self of the past, my first formation and all the stuff that we struggle, right? The self of the past. And I can also talk about the self of the present, Marcos today, and the struggles I'm dealing with today, and the positives and the negatives. I'm not there yet, but I'm willing to go, and I'm struggling. You see, it's different than talking of the past. I'm talking of the present. But then I can also tell you about the Marcos of the future. And this is powerful for me. And in the future, I have to believe that God is doing in me what he wants to do. I'm producing in me what he only can produce. What is the Marcos of the future? What is the intention of God that will be revealed over the years as I let God form his character in me? It becomes the vision of that hope that God will develop in me what he wants to see. You see? So my identity doesn't only has to face, I call it the push of my false self. I have to be aware to my false self and all the impact of my false self in the present. But I need the pull from this hope that is given from God. That pulls me in. The false self pushes, makes me push into this world. But the hope of God's formation in me actually pulls me into this. I don't know if it makes sense, but this is the essence of finding identity. You know, you need push and you need pull, and you need a context that is truth in the scripture. Let me go to this next point briefly. So finding an identity in God is this alternative that David Benner is talking about, right? The alternative to the false self, okay? The true self is who in reality you are and who you are becoming. So that's a statement of faith. The true self is the truest thing that I can say about yourself. You say, no, but you really can say you didn't see me last night when I lost my temper. That is the truest thing. Well, yeah, that is true. But the truest thing that I can say is that the intention of God in you is real and alive today. And you are becoming that, especially if you are participating in these kind of conversations. If not, you will be doing anything else, right? The true self is your total self as you were created by God and as you are being redeemed in Christ. It is the image of God that you are, the unique face of God that has been set aside from eternity for you. Oh, tell me this is not powerful. There is something in my soul that bears witness and say, yes, this uniqueness. Franciscan theologian John Dan Scotus talks about thisness, like this or that. Thisness is the uniqueness of something. You have that. Like every leaf of a tree is unique. They say that every snowflake is unique, and every one of us is unique. And in that intention, God is revealed and God is glorified when you are you, your true self. So I don't have to pretend to be something different. I don't need to be Mother Teresa or whoever it is that I admire. I just let God allow me to become my true self and be myself. This is a helpful tool. I'm just going to read. This is David Benner, a helpful kind of comparison, alternative between true self and false self, bringing clarity about this, okay? So in the false self, security and significance are achieved by what we have, by what we can do, and what others think of us. False self. In true self, Security and significance are achieved by being deeply loved by God. And I don't know. You don't have to do anything to be deeply loved. You see the difference. In the false self, happiness is sought in autonomy from God and in the attachments of life. Autonomy from God is not that, okay, I want to be autonomous from God, but we have this illusion that we are separate. Okay, I'm going to pray so I can watch Netflix after. You see, my happiness is in Netflix after sometimes. And that is, you know, there's a happiness that is apart from God. I'm looking. That's false self. True self, fulfillment is found in surrender to God and living our vocation. And we can see that in Jesus, surrendering to the will of God and fulfilling purpose. In the false self, identity is our idealized self, who we want others to think we are. It's an illusion. It's our best idea of who we should be. In a true self, identity is actually who we are and who we are becoming in Christ. That is a lot of possibility and space there. In the false self, the identity is achieved by means of pretense and practice. We pretend to be strong. How are you? Fine. And we don't do this with malice, okay? Remember, you are just protecting yourself. True self identity is received as a gift with gratitude and surrender. False self identity is maintained by effort and control. You have to work at it. You have to keep your house clean. True self identity is maintained by grace. I am held by the grace of God. And the moment that nothing else sustains, if God stops loving me, there's nothing. There's no me. But I'm here. Therefore, he still loves me. And that becomes my identity. False self. Identity embraces an illusion as a means of attempting to become God. That is the way that David Banner put it. You know, we're trying to become another God. In the true self, identity embraces reality in this moment as it is, as a place of meeting and being transformed by God. So basically, the false self, I live illusions and meanings that are just whatever meanings I choose to make. In the true self, we are choosing to seek what is real. And we breathe, and every breath is real because I find God in every breath. And every encounter, and every person, and every tear, or any celebration. So there you have, this is kind of the alternative, okay? The alternative of true self and the alternative of false self. And that's what we're seeking. That is what we are finding in God. Third point, finding an identity in God is something that impacts our vocation. So the identity that we find in God is going to impact our vocation. And I'm going to use the word vocation here in a deeper sense, what we are called to be. You know, I don't want to use the word calling because it sounds only kind of religious, or vocation is more like, you know, who I am, what is really what God made me to be. David Banner says, identity is not static. It's not something that you get now and that's it. You know, next, let's talk about something else. Identity actually is dynamic. It always gives direction to how we live our life. The discovery of our true self does not simply produce freedom, thank you for that, but it also generates vocation. I used to say, the best gift after salvation, if you want, is purpose. Purpose. It's not about being saved and let's wait until this life ends so I can be with Christ. And there's a longing for that, but what is what you want me here for? You know, the echo of Isaiah 6, you know, after the revelation of the glory of God and my own self brokenness in the prophet in this vision, he hears this whisper of God saying, who shall I send And there is this soul that, yeah, send me, choose me, send me. So this is what we're talking about. The vocation that comes deeply into that intention, that purpose that God has given us. David Benner says that we are called three things. We're called to be fully human. And I love that beginning. I'm not called to be only in the spirit right now. I will be dishonoring the body that God gave me today. I need to be fully human. Jesus became fully human. And there's something that reflects God when we find somebody who is fully human, don't we? That embraces this given reality. We're also called to be followers of Christ, of course. Followers of Christ. And that's a lot more than just a set of beliefs, right? Following Christ is actually going to what Christ is telling us. And that is a bit of a change. It's not about opinions or ideas only. It is actually about obedience and action. We call it radical obedience in faith walking. And we are also called to be on mission with God in the world. We have a lot to say in faith walking about this, especially in the last modules, modules 5 and 6. Alignment with God is about reflecting what we see in Jesus, that the utmost fulfillment is joining God in what God is doing in the world. And that doesn't mean that we need to stop, if we have a secular job, that we need to become part of the staff of a church or go on missions. No, it is being awakened, allowing God to awaken us to the purpose, whatever He is doing in my family, in my neighborhood, in my company where I'm working, and joining God in what He is doing. Thomas Merton, I'm going to give you the same thing in my mind, is said in a different way by Thomas Merton. He talks about the stages of discovery of the true self. The first one, he says, is the understanding of self. He starts there. The second one is the understanding of God through contemplation, through discovering that God is everywhere, always. And God suddenly grows and becomes far bigger in our lives. And the third one, he says, is understanding of others, which takes the form of compassion. So there is and it takes us away from us. It's not only about self, my true self. My true self is gonna actually produce a fruit of compassion for others. It takes me out of me to love and to serve others. In a way, this is a case for mission and vocation. You don't have a clue what is your vocation. This is not about what is the best thing that I can do. I remember when I was young trying to think of vocation. Really, what I was trying to think is how to pay the bills, how to make it, right? How to be successful in life. False self, right? Protecting, being successful. And now I'm really thinking, oh my gosh, I want to be in the place of least resistance, to be the person that God wants me to be. God, use me as you made me. I don't try to be this or that. I want to be me. And I discovered that I don't know a lot of me. this is the communion with God. David Benner, again. Our vocation is a call to serve God and our fellow humans in the distinctive way that fits the shape of our being. So you see, it's a connection between true self to the service of others. I think it's Robert McMahon that says, spiritual formation is being conformed to the image of Christ for the sake of others. Right? I continue with David Benner. In one way or another, Christian calling will always involve the care of God's creation and people. This realigns us to the created world and to our neighbor, moving us from self-centered exploitation to self-sacrificing service and stewardship. And I will add, this is finding purpose in all we do. All we do, not only ministry, all we do. And this promises fulfillment in who we are. You see, vocation is a complement of a true self. Let me finish. Last point quickly. We're talking about finding an identity in God. He's also talking that we need to find an identity that we must choose to embrace. So this is not only letting that identity just be given completely. I mean, God has given it already, but we have to choose it. And this is work. I like how Bennett puts this. It's choosing our uniqueness. You know, it's hard to choose my uniqueness. Sometimes I'm very ashamed of my uniqueness. I think that my uniqueness is silly or bad or wrong. There's a lot of shame there. But when I choose my uniqueness with courage, remember, this is not superhero courage. This is Jesus courage and humility. I discover that God called me to live in that uniqueness because he created that uniqueness in me. And I discover that God meets me in that uniqueness. When I am me, and you know, in the Bible, you might read how beautiful it is how God meets each person in a unique way. This is not about a template. It's in a unique way. And Moses in one way, and David in a different way. And you can keep going on and go on. God makes us unique and meets us in that uniqueness because it's a reflection of his glory. Owning our uniqueness is possible through, I'm going to use faith walking language, okay? I'm going to connect in this with faith walking and what we do. This is not like a promotion of faith walking, but giving you a context because you have the experience of faith walking, right? So is unique, choosing this uniqueness is possible to, first, a life that creates a space for God, spiritual workout, reflective practices, what we are doing. You need to create a life that creates a space for God. It's also necessary that you have God-inspired declarations that are truth instead of the meanings and the stories of our first formation. It is important when it happens, when yourself, you are a differentiated self. When you are choosing your uniqueness with courage and humility, and you are connected to others. This is not about being unique and disconnected. It is also possible when through Christ-centered guiding principles, which somehow become a little bit of a declaration, an articulation of your true self. You know, I see my true self in my guiding principles. And it is it's possible this owning through an intentional joining God in God's mission in the world. And this is an intentional and ongoing effort. Where is God at work? What is the invitation of God? This is for sure a lifelong journey and requires patience and compassion. So this is not a project that we say, okay, this year I'm going to discover my true self. Thanks God that I have even the language to say that there's a true self and there's an alternative for me. And I'm going to keep walking in this path, Lord Jesus, until you find me there. So let me stop there and listen to your comments. What are you present to?
I'm thinking that even though this should be less work, if we have lived with our false self for a long time, we're going to have to do some peeling away. That's going to take some effort.
Yes. Yes, Julie. Unmasking the false self feels risky.
Yeah.
That is work. Indeed. That's why I think that is not something that just happens in a project, like learning. I'm going to learn French, you know, and
right.
You can make a little, I'm going to get to a place where I'm comfortable with French or with German or whatever it is. But this is a different kind of learning. It's a becoming. It's living a place and, you know, it's really hard to come back to that place. It's faith. It's trusting that self is good, is safe, is fulfilling. That takes time and love and patience. I believe God is patient with us. We need to learn to be patient with ourselves.
Exactly.
I find helpful the concept that in one sense it's something already complete, and yet in another sense it's becoming. So it's sometimes hard for me to get my mind around that, but I think of it as living into the journey of living into the truth.
Thank you, Saul. It's really good. It's one of those paradoxes, right? How do we put our minds around that? Indeed. Yes, it's fully complete. It's given 100%. Nothing is missing. And yet I don't have access to it. Yeah, how do I learn? And that's where the learning word is helpful for me too. I'm learning to live into that. Very good.
A song came up in my mind. I love the musical called Shrek, if anybody ever seen it. And it's one point in now where Shrek is an ogre and he's very offensive, smelling bad, mean, unkind, because he's an ogre. He's just living by himself. But in one part of this musical, he explains himself and he says, I'm like an onion. And there's a lot of peeling away. That's how he explains himself, is he's an onion. And when you just mentioned that word of peeling away a false self, it made me think of that image that as God peels away my false self, it smells. It's ugly. And it makes me cry because that's the self that I was living. And now that God is working on me, like I said, it's a lifelong journey. He's peeling away all those things that that's not good, and not Christ-like. And yes, it's making me cry because it's a work, like you just mentioned. It's a work. It's a relief, a deep, deep work. And so, but at the same time that I'm crying, I'm looking at myself now, and there's a joy because I'm not that old self. I'm growing away from that old self. And you mentioned that in the comments. I think that Thomas said that I'm looking at my present self versus my old self. And there's a joy in knowing my future self is going to be a lot better than what was. Yes. And so that's what brings me joy, that God sees fit to work on me, yeah, and not leave, yeah, me in my past condition that I was in.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great, Vernell. Indeed. And you are voicing that pull. The hope of the future self is the pull. We need that pull. We cannot do this work only on negative motivation. I call it negative motivation. Okay, look the impact of your false self. You know, okay. But it won't work. You need a pull. You need positive motivation. Let me close with this this thought. And probably some of you, especially if you have been some time with faith walking, you are familiar with the movie Call the Kid. We use that movie, especially when we used to do retreats all the time. We would use the movie, we would watch it together. And it's a movie that has a good content. You can see that it was created by somebody who knew kind of the mind, you know, psychological aspects of that narrative and things. And it's Bruce Willis, so it's kind of a funny movie. It's getting old and older, but Bruce Willis is very young in that movie. But there's one image at the end that I think is a very good view for all of us, you know, and I'm gonna probably spoil a little bit of the movie, but in the movie there is a man who is 40 years old, right? And the movie for these things of Disney, it's the Disney movie, you know, receives the visit of his 8 years old self, So most of the movie is this relationship between the 40-year-old with his own self, this kid that is 8 years old, right? And you can tell all the issues, and my gosh, I don't like me. And but eventually he befriends, right, this kid. And things happen. There's a good stuff that I'm not going to tell you about the movie. But at the end of the movie, the 8-year-old and the 40-year-old actually have an encounter with the, I don't know, 70-year-old, 75-year-old self. So it's the same person, but the three selves are the kid, the adult, and kind of the older. And they do it well in the movie, you know. I mean, it's just Hollywood, but I think kind of makes us taste a little bit of that. That 70 plus years old, the future self, true self, is wise. You can tell it has overcome. He flies airplanes. So there is a sense of myself, oh my gosh, that is who I wanted to be. And I think that is the pull, Bernal. I'm talking Hollywood, but just as an image, what God has for us. I think Christ becomes that vision. That faithfulness of Christ's head is your faithfulness, is the faithfulness that you will have. That love is your love. That patience is your patience. That zeal is your zeal. That courage is your courage. You name it, right? But I leave you with that. Victor Judith.
Yeah. Well, since I'm 69, I'm hoping that that older gentleman in the movie is more like 85, because I think it's going to take some time for me to peep this all off.
Well, yeah, it's a good, I don't know. But what I can tell you is it will be perfect at the moment that it is, because it's something that God is doing. Right? Thank you, friends. What a joy, really, is to talk about these deep desires and real struggles, you know, together. Let me voice this prayer for all of us and let you go. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. For more information about Faith Walking, visit www.faithwalking.us. We want to remind you that Faith Walking exists because of your financial support. Please consider giving at faithwalking.us/donate. Thank you for listening.
Until I see the Christ in you, till I'm looking through the eyes of love, till I'm looking through the eyes of love.